And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, July the 6th, 2019. It is Season 13, Episode 24. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Nathan.
I'm James.
And I'm Matt.
And look at that. A big packed house out of nowhere. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook, same place. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, type in Game Chat. You can find us there. You can also just go to our website and click on the link. A lot faster, a lot easier. You can join in the chat room live while we broadcast. Let me do my audio sync up routine. There, done. And welcome to the show. It's a lot of people. For those of you watching on Twitch, it's the best we came up with for how you could see us all in one area. So, God, where to start? what has everybody been doing? we caught up with Nate last week. Of course, you had been playing Super Mario Maker. I think was the last thing that you had touched, messed around with.
How's that going?
Oh, get this mic adjusted. A little rusty over here now. It's been great. There's some super, super challenging levels that people have made. It's fascinating the degree of, you know.
How challenging are your
complexity?
Levels?
I have not made a level.
You haven't
okay,
made a
so
level?
So you just play other people's? You're
I just play others. I don't plan on making my own.
Do they still have the, whatever, the 100... Whatever
Yeet? It was. The Battle Rush?
Yeah, whatever? Not Battle Rush, but it was like you had 99 lives.
Oh.
And you had to go through.
I believe so. I haven't.
Yeah.
Literally all I've been doing is trying to beat single player, which I've almost completed.
Yeah.
And then slowly been playing other people's levels.
How do you have a single player in a creation game?
It's a very, it's its own little story. I mean, it's got a legit, you know, bunch of creative levels that they've made that are pretty difficult.
Okay. Didn't that little Sackboy business on Sony have a single player, even
yeah.
though it was a creation
yeah.
thing?
It mm-hmm. did, yeah, it did.
What was that called?
Little Big
little,
Planet.
Yes. Little, yeah. That was a good one.
Oh, that's, yeah, that actually is the name. I was like, that's... But you're right, that was the name.
But yeah, no, it then there's some levels, like I said before, that are just... You just hit one button and run... And just things are happening. You still got to figure them out.
Yeah.
Some of them are still puzzles. That's actually probably the coolest thing so far is how many puzzle levels there are that you'd be interested in that are not just Mario levels.
Mm.
You got to figure out the process to get through them.
When to spin on this enemy to bounce you into... I've seen some...
Not even that. They're mazes.
Okay, mazes.
Some of them are just...
Like door mazes?
Level to, you know, yeah. And then some of them are Mario Kart levels where you're racing.
I've seen some where, like, you can't touch the floor at all.
There's some where you
just continuously bounce.
The ones I hate are the ones you can't jump.
Oh.
Those suck.
Do they limit you by just, they don't allow
your
the character?
Character cannot leave the air.
Oh.
So you have to figure out how to, and there's parts where you have to jump, but you have to figure out how to use the environment to pop you up but never leave the ground. So then there's levels, and then
okay.
know, meanwhile, some of them you got to collect certain kind of coins. There was one I was playing this morning that I couldn't beat. You have 20 seconds to beat it, and you have to run the entire level, and you have to time all your jumps perfectly, and those are the really tough ones because you don't one mess up, you just reset.
Well, like I said, we'd caught up with you. We haven't caught up with James in.
You know, what have I been doing for the last 3 years?
3 years, yeah.
So go ahead and get
last time you were here was for Prey.
Yeah.
Did you finish that?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay. No, God, I think you had at the time that we had talked about it.
I will finish every single game Arkane makes.
Yeah.
I love them so much. Dishonored.
Are they doing what's that other one they're doing? The time loop thing, whatever. We saw at
E3. Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
I don't care.
Yeah.
If Arkane makes it, I'll buy it and I'll play it like 3 times.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, they showed that off and it was like, oh, that's it.
Did you do Moon Crash?
No, I didn't. I didn't really care about the DLC from that sort of stuff.
Didn't do any of that either.
No, because it's like fine and it's really cool and I watched a bunch of people play it. But it's not what like really draws me to the game.
You did the DLC for Dishonored.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dishonored 1 and 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, actually, I didn't, I guess Death of the Outsider wasn't really considered DLC. It was like a expandalone or whatever it was, mm-hmm. kind of. It was all right. It was the weakest of mm-hmm. everything they've done, in my opinion, but I love their stuff. They make, like, that is, you know, everybody has a type of game that is most perfectly them, most perfectly suited to them as a player, and Arkane's style is absolutely mine. It's a shame there's not more of that. But it doesn't sell, you know?
Unfortunately, right. Yeah.
It's critically acclaimed, really loved by the people who do enjoy that type of game, but they're expensive and slow and time-consuming to make, and they don't sell enough. So,
I mean, heck, how many things do we like that are just critically acclaimed but doesn't...
Most of them, yeah, most of them.
Masses.
So. Well, I guess Bethesda, as long as Bethesda keeps letting them... I guess make stuff, you know, make their games, I suppose. Because I know, like, how far can that go, you know? How far can that go as a developer? Like, you keep making these great, and we love, hey, look, critics love your stuff. People love your stuff. They love it, but they apparently don't love it at full price.
Yeah.
So how far can you take that?
Yeah, they're also...
Yet here they are, keep making Wolfenstein games that aren't living up to the...
Yeah,
well, I mean, Bethesda's not making that. They're just publishing.
Yeah, but they dole out the money. They decide whether or not it's worth
like
paying
the
money.
Like the actual Bethesda-made stuff, to me, just everything looks the same. You know,
and it's
like,
not good.
You know, it's like Telltale games, right? That they had that one engine that they used until, like, the end of the...
They died?
Until
they
died.
But, I mean, that's how I feel like Bethesda is. They have, you know, their engine that they just, you know, every single game is, you know, that they make looks the same. The characters look the same.
Yeah, but they had a good run there for a while with... And now I'm...
Oblivion
now I'm drawing a blank.
And
no,
Skyrim
not Oblivion.
And
it was whatever. They were releasing in May every single year something new. And we got Wolfenstein was the first. Not the first, I think. What was it? They revitalized another one, didn't they?
Was it Doom?
Well,
That's more recent.
Yeah, Doom is more recent. Doom was like the last one. Then Wolf.
That's 2016.
Wolf, I thought, was the first one. And then there was another one I thought that they brought back. And we were really impressed. I mean, Wolf surprised us.
Yeah.
And then they did it again, thought, with another one. But I can't remember what it might have been. It wasn't Doom. I thought it was three specific games. Maybe it was Prey. Maybe it was Prey that came out, or I don't think it was Dishonored.
I will say that all three of those were not expected to be good,
mm-hmm.
And all three of them were amazing. So
maybe just our expectations need to be lowered.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reason to believe that we should lower them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's probably it, because all three of those games were expected to be pretty poor. They showed pretty poorly in their early previews. People didn't like or understand them very well, and then all three turned out to be amazing. So, I mean, Prey had some weaknesses to it, but it was really solid. I loved it a lot.
Yeah, I'm looking them up now. It was Wolf, and there was...
You're going to talk about Rage, right?
No, I wasn't talking about Rage.
I have no clue.
You're playing Rage, aren't you? Or did you play Rage?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
You didn't?
I never played any of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was. I'm looking here and I see The Evil Within. I see Dishonored. I see Prey. I see Doom. I don't think it was a Fallout game, because I know it wasn't Fallout 76. So I can't remember what
Brink.
It was. Yeah, no. No one Brink either. God, I did play Brink. I played Brink.
I did too.
Everyone.
It was a shame that it didn't
kind of liked it a little bit.
Too.
Yeah. Not at full price, but I did like what I had played when I eventually did pick it up. So, anyway, not sure what that was. All right. So what's recent that you've been doing? I've seen you do Hitman and Final Fantasy.
Yeah, Hitman. Hitman 2, I got in the sale. I love the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's being a real pain right now, though. I'm having a lot of... It's crashing a lot on me.
Oh.
The second one. I'm getting a lot of CTDs. I'm still trying to figure that out. They can be really angry because I love...
If that happens, during your Elusive Target, I would...
Yeah, I know. That's why I haven't... That's why I haven't even touched the Elusive Target yet. I can't remember if I had this much trouble with the first one. I feel like I did, and then I figured out what was wrong.
Yeah.
And it was fine, and now I have no idea.
I think there's one going on right now.
No, there's definitely an Elusive Target now. I think there's like 8 days left.
Yeah, the
Entertainer.
The tattoo, yeah, in Marrakesh.
Yep. I'm only
that one.
Yeah, I'm only a couple levels into that, but it's fun. Now, I like them. It's a really pleasant replayable murder simulator.
Are you going back through playing the first Hitman, or did you skip all that and just?
I played the first one. No, I don't want to say recently, but inside of the last year.
Okay.
So I didn't feel like replaying it again inside of Hitman 2.
The only reason why I've been doing that is because all of the collections that you do for the Mastery aren't there in Hitman 2. You have to go back
and
So, like, you know, like some of my weapons and some of the other stuff that, you know, I'm like, oh, man, why don't I have the electronic scrambler?
Yeah.
Oh, because I didn't unlock
it in the other game.
So that's why I've had to go back and replay a lot of those so I could get, you know, my loadout and some of the, you know, equipment that I loved.
There's nothing in the Hitman 1 inside of Hitman 2 has an effect on Hitman 2, does it? It's just the first game kind of inside the second.
Okay. Where you could, you know, they add the mechanics of 2 into it where you have the grass that you could hide in.
Oh.
Which helps out in some areas.
Yeah.
You could actually do the briefcase with your...
Carry your sniper rifle in your briefcase.
And so stuff like that makes it kind of adds
right.
a little differentness to it.
I can see wanting to go back and play it. It's, you know, it was a mixed bag. Some of those levels I could play 100 times and never get bored because I thought they were really, really well made. Some of them were like, I don't want to say one and done, right? Because like the first time.
Colorado was that way for me.
The extremist compound thing. Yeah, no. That and the hotel. Wherever it was. I didn't really care
India.
For it. Yeah. I didn't like it all that much. I could play Sapienza 100,000 times.
And luckily with a lot of the Elusive Targets, you will be. And that's one thing that with 2 that has me like, a lot of they had like Sean Bean in Elusive Target in Miami, right? The Undying. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, they're using Hitman 2 as the Elusive Target. And then everything else since then has been the legacy, you know, the stuff that I've already played through and beat in the first Hitman.
Really? Everything after?
They re-brought back Sean Bean for the Undying Part 2, I guess, so that, like, you could assassinate him again.
Yeah.
For the people that missed him the first
time. But everything
time.
Else has been rehashed?
Everything else so far has been rehashed, except I'm wondering if they're going to do Gary Busey again.
Hmm.
But, I mean, like, they're all, it's been, like, the one that's going on right now is in Marrakesh, which is a Hitman 1 level. The one before that was, I think, in Paris. The one before, you know, like, so it's all Hitman 1. Actually, no, it's Hikkaido. Was I think the one, but you know,
so if
I like that level.
I'm curious though, if you only have Hitman 2, and you want to do the elusive targets that are set on stages that are in Hitman 1.
You might have to buy the legacy.
Do you
pack.
Get that or no?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know
because I bought it on sale with you know
all the everything
in the bag. So
exactly.
I have no idea how it's actually built.
Did you go through all of the levels in 2?
No.
Okay.
I'm still working my way through because it keeps crashing on me.
Okay.
It's intermittent. I will say I love the little sniper puzzle levels where you're just sniping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like they have
super fun.
They're coming out, I think, with a third level.
With a third one? Yeah. I've only played the first one, but that's super fun. I like that one.
they just released the new bank level.
Okay.
Which is, you know, like in Hitman, you know, the Hitman 2 bank level. And that one was, I 100%ed, got all the achievements for that one. Actually, no, I think I'm missing Chameleon. But other than that, okay. Like, I went through and I, you know, kept on doing that one.
Yeah, some of them, I think I did that for maybe two of the levels in the first game. I mean, I'm still, I'm assuming everybody plays these the same way, right? Like, you, the first time through, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I do not care. I'm John Wick. Like, that's all I care about.
Get through it.
I shoot the bad guys. I shoot the good guys. I shoot the shopkeepers. I shoot the chicks in bikinis. I don't care. If you're in front of me, I'm just killing everybody. I just want to know where everything is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If I walk into your house and you scream at me, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah.
If you're in my way, like, I'm going to shoot you. I just want to know where – I want to know where the rat poison is.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know where the wrenches are.
Yeah.
That's all. I'll kill everybody so I can find all the stuff. Then I go back through and play it like you're supposed to play it.
Yeah.
There's
a great video that I shared with – I know I shared with Matt. And it talks about the art of repetition.
Uh-huh.
And it gives – and it uses Hitman as the example of the art of repetition, which is when you're put into that – when you first start at a level, it is probably one of the most sloppiest completions you will ever have.
Mm-hmm.
Lowest score, whatever. You play it again,
you get
gradually
to
gets a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then by the fifth or sixth, tenth time, ever how many, 25th
you
maybe in
my
You are
a silent assassin.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, you starting at the finish line as Neo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you just, that's and to be fair, like, it's from the outside, it doesn't look great when the whole premise is you're going to have to replay it over and over and over again. But the levels really are the star. You know, if the levels are good enough, if the puzzles within that level, such as they are,
which is what he pointed out as the catalyst of every single thing about the repetition is level design.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is why I feel like I can go back to some of them endlessly, and others I'm like, eh. Like,
plus
I'm,
the fact, every time you complete it, I think you get unlock something at least.
Yeah, it's every time you complete a level of a rank of level mastery, you get something, I believe.
Yeah,
Or some of them are tied to doing.
If you
the
do,
second
if
one's
you
got
do
like
the achievements
stories.
And stuff
yeah,
like that. You know, so if
which
you kill this person this way, or if you collect this one thing, then you get the level mastery points, and then once you level up, then you will get like either a starting location.
Right. So when you go through it like the 25th time,
you should have everything.
You have different things that you didn't have when you started out with.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite levels of two is the neighborhood. I think it's like
I've only done the beach house.
That one it's for a small
it's
introductory.
It's real small. I've only done the beach house.
Yeah.
And then Miami.
Yeah.
And then
Miami was interesting. After that, the Columbia?
Columbia. That's what I'm doing now. I've completed it, but I'm going back through. I've done like maybe two of the stories.
Okay, that's good.
So that's the one I've been working on now, and it's
I do like how they do that where the stories will pop up, and then you know, you're like, okay.
Yeah, I gotta say though,
I think you turn it off.
You can. I just feel like I wish they were a little more subtle about it instead of – I wish it was a little more organic. They feel a little hand-holdy, you know what I mean? Like just have the patience to walk through each step and then you'll complete this and you'll unlock some stuff and that's fine. I like the somewhat more organic style of just kind of working my way through to find those stories. And if my memory is right, the first game was a little less overt.
I think it was.
You know, it was just more like, if you pick up on the stories, then good for you. They weren't. They still had the challenges,
yeah.
Where it was like specifically like, drown this guy in his mistress's goldfish bowl or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun. Like, I like doing that over and over again. The stories seem a little too... just like deliberate walk through, just got to do it exactly like this, and they're kind of okay. But I like making my own stories in a proper murder simulator.
Did you
which it is for the most part?
Yeah. Did you do the Hitman 1 DLC the second mission?
Yeah.
With the virus. Patient Zero.
I did. I had a lot of to drink. when I did that one. So like many things that I have played, I know that I did it. I really couldn't tell you the first thing about it. Otherwise, other than apparently
the reason why
my account thinks I played
through
it.
When did I get that achievement? Yeah. I don't remember.
The reason why I brought that up is just because...
Well, a lot of times it's like, when did I get this game?
Yeah, that's the other
right?
one.
How
yeah.
many times, like, there's a Steam sale, right? I'm going through and it's like, ooh, I'm going to see how much...
In library, what?
When did I get this? I don't know. When was the last time you bought a bottle of Wild Turkey?
The reason why I brought that up is because like the very last mission took place in Hokkaido, Japan, and the virus kind of breaks out, and you have to like kill the infected people.
Yeah.
And if you just like wait long enough, everybody on the map gets infected, and I would do that. I would just like let everyone get infected and just like kill every last person.
Yeah.
And you know, try and see if you know do that without getting spotted or you know.
Yeah. No, it's just fun. It's Hitman's really it's pretty good fun. It's really good. I honestly, it's exceptionally good stealth gameplay that doesn't break down entirely when you decide to just chuck it out the window and become John Wick. Like it's like I remember I used to get really 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 disappointed in the older days of Splinter Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the first couple of games, you remember if you ever got like spotted or had to go into like actual
combat,
like if you actually wound up in real combat, like you were done.
Yeah,
that one in Pandora Tomorrow did very good as far as keeping that aspect.
Yeah, so something that allows me to sort of approach it however I want, and for what it's worth, Hitman doesn't exactly it kind of punishes you because you get like a zero ranking, but you'll get some XP, right? You kill a bunch of people, like, and you do it like just in your suit, and if you just storm through like a terror, like it, you know, yeah, you beat it, it's fine. No insta fail stuff, no forced kind of hand holding in terms of like how you want to proceed through the thing. I mean, sometimes there is because you have to like have different whatevers to get into a certain place or stuff like that. Otherwise, though, just real good, top notch stuff. They could keep as long as they can figure out levels,
yeah,
because I'm assuming there's a story. Sometimes there's cutscenes and people are talking. I have no idea. So I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
I
don't care
all of that.
Just show me the picture of the people that need to get dead.
Yeah, I want your level
then,
design.
Yeah, let me go. And as long as they can figure out how to make good levels, they can keep making these. I don't care. 5, 6, 7, 8 of them. Mm-hmm. I don't care. This exact style. Don't get cute. Just keep doing this once every
so
2 years.
So much better than Absolution.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, prior to this, Hitman really was
hit or miss.
Really uneven. Yeah.
Blood Money was good. Absolutely.
Yeah, Blood Money was pretty good. Blood Money was really good, actually, for the time.
Mm-hmm.
No joke.
Still wish we'd get another Splinter Cell. It's been...
yeah, I know.
We looked this up. 2012?
What? Blacklist?
No, Blacklist was...
2015, maybe?
Yeah, it was like 2015.
I think it's 2014.
2014, maybe? Blacklist.
Maybe
it can't be any older
Wait,
than
let
that.
Me put
it ain't 5 years old.
Let me
now.
Put Splinter Cell in front of it because that's a stupid TV show.
Well, let's see. Well, Blacklist says it's 2013.
How is it 2013?
What?
How?
What? August 20th, 2013.
It cannot be 6 years old.
I do. Okay, because I do remember being in Qatar at IED and playing it there.
I remember. I mean, I know that we didn't play it like – we played it like a year later.
We tried to play it when it immediately came out, but then we went back to it, I think. I don't know how much later,
yeah,
but we went back to it later.
It was like a year.
What's really crazy
is when we went back to it and you and I tore through all the co-op stuff.
I know, which was great.
Which was amazing.
That was great.
It was amazing.
The first one came out in 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah, first Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I can remember that because Pandora Tomorrow added multiplayer and we were still – It was me and Kevin and James and Jeremy wanting to get in on that.
Oh, it was dark times. That was dark times.
On the
man.
GameSpy servers
yeah.
with the what was the blockage thing that they had?
Punkbuster?
Punkbuster, I think, yep. was yeah. what it was.
That was exactly the time when essentially all really competent game design evacuated from the PC and started moving over to the console.
Yeah.
But the console really wasn't quite up to par at managing significant multiplayer stuff. It was a real, real ugly time in the history of
it. It was some growing pains there for the console stuff and getting around that. Let's go to our first break. And you guys posted some stuff in the chat room that we use daily. And I thought, these are good music tracks that I'm going to use. And so using the two music tracks, one that Kevin posted, one that James posted, led me down a path of, okay, they're not flight sim games. I've already done a simulator theme with farming simulator and yacht simulator and whatever else. So I just got flying games, basically.
Oh, sure.
This one is the main theme from, I think it's a PS2 game, Blazing Angels.
I think that's an old World War II.
It is. Blazing Angels, Squadrons of World War II, I think is what
that
it was.
That's PlayStation terribly 3. Generic.
Is it PlayStation 3? Not Blazing Saddles. I want Blazing Angels.
I'd rather have Blazing Saddles.
2006.
Yeah, you're right. PlayStation 3. Squadrons of World War II is exactly what that is. So anyway, we'll come back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This comes from a game called Strikers 1945. This is a game that was on PlayStation and Sega Saturn from 1995. Developers were Psycho, P-S-I-K-Y-O, and Zero Div. Yeah. I don't know. Looking up stuff, I was just like, hey, there's one.
You just made up everything you said.
Exactly.
That's not even the game.
Strikers 19... No, it is. It's a game.
Nope, your traditional old school vert shooter.
It is. Look at that. Yeah. Okay, I see now. Yeah. Let's talk to Chris Wilkrick. Hey, Chris.
What's going on? Sounds like I've got a full house.
We do. We have a very, very big house. We got a lot of people, not enough mics.
Well, Platinum Bloodstain Ritual of the Night just a few minutes ago.
Ugh.
Yeah, we just saw the Facebook post. You got a 100% of the map, right?
Yeah, that was the map, and then later on I got everything and got the Platinum Trophy.
And how long did it take you to get all that?
Might as well say 60 hours. It was just under 60 hours.
Yeah, see, I got the game, but I haven't started yet, so I wanted to know what I was getting in for, because I've been so preoccupied with a couple games I've been playing, but I do want to start playing into that, so 60 hours, yeah.
Yeah, it'll stick its claws until you once you get into it. You don't have to worry about wanting to stay entertained with it and like the other ones like that.
And you're playing that on the... What are you playing that on?
PlayStation 4.
Okay, yeah.
See, I don't want to start and then like stop and then get out of sorts and then try to jump back into it later. So if I want to start, I probably want to get...
What would be distracting you?
What would be distracting me? The desire to play the other, like a Samurai Showdown, for example. Trying to get back and learn all I can with that. Because it's still new, and everyone's trying to get all the techniques down in that, so it would be something that would take me away from there. But Bloodstained would sound like the type of game I would like to get fully invested in for a good long time before I start playing something else, which I would typically play games really. But the worst is when you like get into something like that, then stop.
A while, I know.
And then try to get back in there. We have to relearn how to operate.
Your muscle memory's like gone. Your controller memory, whatever that is, goes away after a while. Well, Chris, thanks for calling in and giving us an update.
All right, I'll stop talking to you later.
All right, man.
All right, now, take care.
Bye.
What have you been playing, RG?
Well,
Samurai Showdown, I guess?
Of course, that's Samurai Showdown. Of course, I'm still trying to learn some stuff in that game. Still playing with character Tam Tam, which I'm hearing is a top-tier character, and people are upset about that. But I've been playing with this character since 1995. I don't see any reason for me to stop now. So I'm going to keep playing with him.
Is there a change?
Well, the only changes really is some of his attacks are different from they were back in the day. But he's still a range character. Play keep away, keep people out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's one of the tallest. He's the second tallest character in the game, and he has an attack that reaches across the screen. But the same thing applies, though. If you make a mistake in this game, it's going to hurt regardless, no matter what character you play.
Yeah.
But so it's an added benefit that I have a character that can keep someone at bay for a long distance away, and keep her from coming in and attacking when you get your attacks blocked. Because getting your stuff attacked leaves you wide open for a whole bunch of counters and real painful setups and whatnot. So it's good to have someone who can keep him away like that.
Yeah.
It's probably why he's top tier in the game so far. Outside of that, a little bit more of Grand Theft Auto Online. We've got some double money tasks they put out there.
Yeah.
With the gun running and the cargo shipments, you can get double money this week. So it's pretty easy to get.
I think you get some money with Twitch Prime.
I think Twitch Prime gives you a $1.2 million GTA bucks for linking your account with that. So I don't know when it ends. Maybe the 8th, I think. Probably the end of their end of their cycle this week. Probably about the 8th, I think. But if you got a Twitch Prime account, you can link your GTA Online account with it. It's $1.25 million credits given to you for that. So if you got,
I don't know if that's big in the world of...
Not really.
Okay, I didn't think it was.
But it's better than nothing. I mean,
I get it, yeah.
I mean, it can take a minute to get that much money, especially if you don't have a lot. And I know they've been dropping the price on the game. It's up to get new players in. But it's made to where it takes a lot of time to get that much money. I mean, you have to spend a lot of money to make money, regardless. So you have to put a lot of investing into stuff like that. And with a $1.2 million, you could probably get yourself a small warehouse, start building up crates that way. Start small, start selling small, save every money, and then build up to get another one later on down the line. So you can at least start something if you're new to the game that way. Yeah, but that's what I've been doing, getting those double money tasks. And I've been playing a little bit of Mortal Kombat 11. They had the 4th of July tower. NetherRealm Studios usually has a holiday tower, and for this one being the 4th of July. So the theme is basically firecrackers all over the place, bombs going all over the screen, distracting you, things that will hamper your game. Like the one tower I was on, the last enemy had 2,000 health when you normally have 1,000. So you had to do twice as much damage to your opponent to get the win.
Mm-hmm.
But while you're trying to fight her, someone's throwing red, white, and blue smoke bombs all over the screen, so you can't see anything going on the screen. So while you're getting pounded, don't know where it's coming from. And when the smoke clears, now you're down 800 health, wondering what happened because you couldn't see it because the smoke bombs was in the way. So after a few attempts and everything like that, I was finally able to get through that. I got some skins and rewards, things like that, money for the crypt, little bonus things like that. So it was pretty nice going through that. And I expect another one, not for Labor Day, Halloween. Halloween, they really go all out for the Halloween tower. You know, jump scares, spider webs, sudden pitch blackness, things like that. You know, Halloween themed stuff. So I expect a good one come October from them.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Matt, what about you?
Saw that you were playing Detroit.
Yeah.
Become Human.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to...
You decided to fire that up, yeah.
Finally beat
it. And what happens? I bought that game $20 for Black Friday last November. And then this week, PlayStation Plus, it's now available. And then I start playing it after it's available for free.
At least we get the soundtrack and... I think Heavy Rain.
You get the soundtrack, the Detroit Become Human, the art files. You get Heavy Rain and two themes
but
to go with that.
But didn't Heavy Rain, wasn't that already given away?
For PS
Plus? Yeah, I think I already had that.
Probably.
I didn't. Barely spoke. When I clicked on that, it downloaded like five different downloads, and I got them all in there now.
I will say, what I've played of this, I like it much better than I did Beyond Two Souls, which was their last one.
I still haven't played that.
I really liked Beyond
I liked it. I liked Heavy Rain much better.
I hated Heavy Rain so much.
Just for the fact that there was more branching.
We're just opposites on that then. I liked Heavy Rain, but I didn't really care for Beyond Two Souls.
No, I think I remember this being a thing like years ago. I was the only person that like hated. I hated every character. The game itself functionally wasn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
I hated the writing, and I hated literally every... I was trying to find a way for them all to die. I wanted to kill every single living thing in Heavy Rain.
That is possible, isn't it?
I don't know. If it was, I couldn't figure it out, and I didn't want to go back long enough to... Like, to make it happen. I could not stand that.
Okay, I'll figure this out, because I think...
I couldn't stand the narrative, couldn't stand the characters, thought it was
awful.
There's
enough endings that that's probably one. Yeah,
I'm thinking and Jaden Scott, Meredith, the kid, of course. There was another character in there. I'm trying to think, but there probably is a way for everybody to pass on to that game.
I'll look for a video and enjoy it.
I think that's the same way with Detroit, though. I think you can kill every single character in
Detroit. But I think Connor's the only one that comes back as multiple models.
Hmm.
Whereas if, when you did all of your characters survive?
No.
Same here.
So.
But that was interesting.
But it's enough. There's especially at the end of it when you see the paths.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, okay, I could easily play that again and pick something different and go through it.
And like how many times like some of the QuickTime events and everything, I'm like, oh, I didn't quite hit that just right, and so that branched off a different path that I'm like, oh, if I would have done it differently, I would have gone.
Well, it's one of the things that I liked more about this is that it does show you at the end of each level, it's like, here's all the different things and here's all the different things
and
you didn't
see how much you missed.
Yeah. You see the entire pathway of everything that could happen if you did.
That's why, to me, this game felt more like a choose-your-own-adventure with QuickTime events than an actual game, in a way.
But something like that makes you want to, more so than any of the other two games, it really makes you want to go back and do those routes again, because the demo did that for me.
No, yeah, totally.
Because it said, like, oh, I could have done this. Well, let me go back and do that. Well,
Did you save the girl? Did you not save the girl?
Yeah, in the demo?
Yeah,
got saved.
But you could you find that out that you know.
And yeah, you like see how many people made the same choice as you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went back to. I actually finally beat that. I thought that was interesting. I enjoyed it. I played Vader Immortal, the first episode.
Oh, the VR thing, right?
Yeah.
So you got your VR set up.
Yeah.
Your Oculus. Well, you're not doing full room though. You're doing. What are you doing? Yeah. Sitting still, sitting
well,
down.
Well,
right?
I'm sitting, but yeah.
Yeah. Is Vader can that be a room scale VR thing?
I don't think so. Maybe a little bit, but I mean, you still have to. You still move with the controllers, because you move throughout the whole.
I'm just curious if it's got room scale, a room scale aspect to it, to where you can, you can move around, in the space that you're in, without a controller. Or maybe not without a controller, but at least you have the hand controllers that show yourself and I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but where you're in your own space and can move rather than sitting down. Because you're in
a confined space.
Yeah, the way that you've got it set up, and the way, honestly, that I had mine set up, because that room was not very big anyway, the only real way to enjoy it was to really sit down and play. So, but I want room scale.
Yeah.
So anyway, what'd you like?
I liked it. I mean,
Star Wars.
It's short.
How much is it? Free?
No, it's like $9.
Okay. How short is it?
I don't know. Like maybe hour.
I'd ask if you got your money's worth, but it's got Star Wars on the label, so you got your money's worth.
I enjoyed it.
Was it like the Batman VR missions, just short compilation of kinda things like that?
In a way, kind of like that, only more story-driven.
Okay.
In the Batman VR missions, you click on highlighted points to move to. Mm-hmm. You don't actually traverse through the environment.
Yeah, I thought that Batman stuff was like, hey, here's a neat little introduction. Until we started unlocking all the Joker stuff.
Yeah.
Or not Joker, but the Riddler stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait a second.
There's more to this.
Okay. There's a lot more to it.
We had a lot of fun with that. That was pretty cute.
Once he found out, because I didn't even realize it until we were playing at your house. And we started going through the Joker thing, the Riddler stuff, and noticing all these other different things of like, well, how do I get that?
Yeah.
How do we get it over there? How do we do this? And that unlocks a whole another aspect of the game.
Okay.
Yeah, it was reasonably deep exploration, for lack of a better word, in that.
All right.
Since you're basically sitting still.
Yeah. doing some more Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Just, just chipping away on that. And then on that, Kevin and I are prepping for a a community goal that's going on right now in Elite Dangerous, where we have to turn in like exploration data for some good amount of money. So we're off, you know, close. Oh, we started jumping out close to, I think, Witchhead Nebula, and are just mapping systems out there. We've made several first discoveries of systems, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. You know, like knowing that, like in this game, nobody else has been here before. Mm. You know, so you know, finding out you know new places, and you know, that's been kind of neat. Mm-hmm. They just announced not mega ships, but fleet carriers.
Yeah,
coming out in December.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that means for that game, but
curious how that's
more
gonna
stuff.
Be. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Is that going to be like your home station? Are you going to be able to like jump with those things? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I can't wait to find out more.
Those fuel guys still operating out there?
Oh, yeah. Fuel rats?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice. I like that. Cool.
They're pretty cool.
Mm. AC Wraith says, I've been playing disappointing Steam sale purchases. I only had $5 and I appear to have spent it poorly. And I'm asking, I want to find out what the $5 was spent on. Did you pick that up?
I did.
The VR?
The VR.
I had never played it in VR.
Really?
No.
I can't imagine playing it not in VR.
It's fun in not in VR.
It released not in VR, which is how I played it when it released.
It's fun.
In VR, I had a great time with that.
There's some challenging levels in non-VR, but you should try both, though, if you have both.
I just got the VR version.
Okay.
So
it was like $4, I think.
When you're in VR...
Mm-hmm. Dodging bullets is so easy.
I was going to say, because the way it worked with the controller, if I wanted to look to, if I'm looking to my left and I need to see somebody that's at my right,
mm-hmm.
moving my head to look counted as movement.
Correct.
For things coming, you know.
Still the same.
Like if I did, so I didn't know if like your head movement was still registered.
Some movements, like the faster you move, the quicker time, you know.
I'm PS4. That's what I have it on. It's PS4. Okay. Any movement moves.
But, you know, yeah.
So if I go to reach for the gun,
I get that if you go to reach for it. I just didn't know if your head, you did head movements.
If you turn to see where the next person is,
that counts as movement. Okay.
But, yeah,
I'm sure there is a way to get it to where it's not properly registering your movement.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But, dodging in with a VR headset was, you know, that was pretty neat. You just sort of like move your body around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I beat that one. That was
one you might like.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch Rick and Morty?
Yeah,
I know you do. Have you played?
They had the VR
Trover.
No, I didn't pick up Trover.
I picked it up because did you see that deal where you can get the $15 Amazon credit?
No.
Okay. Well, if you just signed up for this was last week that Wario posted. If you signed up and used Amazon. Photo.
Oh, no, I did do that. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I did that.
And then that game was on sale.
Oh, okay.
So I got it for $6 on PS4.
Nice.
That game's awesome.
What is it?
I mean, it's a Rick and Morty game without being in Rick and Morty. I mean, you know, same theme, I just pictured as like a different alternate journey without Rick and Morty.
Okay.
It's so funny. I totally recommend it.
All right.
AC Wraith updated us. He picked Sun Wukong versus Robot. He says that might be a decent platform shooter fighter, but it was mislabeled as Metroidvania. Meanwhile, Life on Mars remake is a grind fest against health sponges. He also got the procedural brawler Heart and Slash. That one might still be okay. Overall, I'd still rather play a session of a robot named Fight than any of them. Those all sound like VR games. Be honest with you. James, what are you playing that isn't crashing your system?
I picked up Sniper Elite 4.
Okay.
In the sale as well.
Sale, all right.
Yeah, so.
I was going to ask you, have you ever played any more PUBG?
No.
It's changed.
Yeah, drastically. I know, man. That's what happens with everything. Like, everything in the whole world. I go on a tear, like, at work, and I can't play games, and I get away from them, and... That they have changed becomes its own barrier to reentry,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, and it's amazing to me because I don't even recognize a lot of these games from the outside. Like, I don't know. I don't even know what Destiny is anymore. Like, I'm not even sure if it's a first-person shooter anymore. I just read the subreddit, and I'm like, I was playing this 6 months ago before I stopped having days off.
And it's going to change again come
September. And then now I look at it, and I only recognize every other word people are saying about it. I'm like, that's it. I'll come back in September and do that whole thing where I spent a month trying to figure it all out.
And then leave again.
And then leave again. Yeah, there's that that I've got installed. Don't know what's going on with it. Don't know how to play it. PUBG is installed still. I just can't bring myself to actually launch it, which I should because I've upgraded my computer since the last time I played it.
It's much more optimized since even really? I played it.
Yeah, okay. I do know that the only time I was ever able to win was when I was playing at work on an incredibly crappy computer.
That's right. I remember
that. For whatever reason, I could really score that. Some chicken dinners, but only at work. I couldn't do it at home. That would be decent to go back to because I felt like I was always fighting the performance. Everybody did. I've been playing Sniper Elite. I'm trying to catch up in Final Fantasy because the new FF14.
Because
the new expansion came out, and I'm still, as is always the case, halfway through the last expansion because I quit that. It's not like World of Warcraft or anything where there's a catch-up mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredibly linear. You will walk through the story. You are gated by the main story quest. Like, you will complete that, and it will take you 20 hours before you get to go to the new stuff. It's all kind of linear and gated. Not that that's bad. It's their style, and I think works quite well for them. Unfortunately, if the not reviews exactly, but if people's impressions are to be believed, the current content is the best that the game has been so far, and the content that I am currently in the middle of is the worst the game has been so far. Maybe not the worst.
Don't they have upcoming content as well?
No. It's brand new. It's Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Storm something?
Shadowbringers.
Shadowbringers.
Yeah.
This is what they were talking about at Square's press conference.
Yes.
For you. Okay.
Yeah, Shadowbringers is the current thing. Really, really, I love the game. I love what they've done to it.
I've thought about jumping in.
It's very, very, very cool. It is about the smartest management I've ever seen of a game that was clearly cratering when it launched. And they changed management. They changed the approach. Really kind of a bottom-up redesign. Let's learn the right lessons from Western MMOs, not to put too fine a point on it, because a lot of their problems were because they were being rigidly Japanese unfortunately.
Guild Wars, is that Japanese as well?
No.
It's Korean.
It's Korean.
Korean,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. But it is kind of the antithesis of Final Fantasy XI, which was a sandboxy open thing. This really is in the vein of deeply story-driven, I don't want to say linear, but fairly linear theme park MMO style thing. But really good crafting game, really, really fun mechanics with the different jobs. Really good dungeon design, fairly good world design. Gets better over time because they've stopped supporting the console, the older consoles.
Oh, nice. Okay.
They no longer support PlayStation 3, so the expansions have all had much nicer environments.
That's happened for a lot of people. As soon as they stopped working on the older
console
versions,
the game gets a lot better, doesn't it?
It gets better,
yeah. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And I like it a great deal. It's really good, and in its way is it's uneven. The story is uneven because it's now this is its third expansion. So the base game plus three expansions, ups and downs, but at times is the best Final Fantasy going. I like it. It's a neat game. It just sometimes while you're still grinding through, if you're not where everyone else is, it can feel a little bit lonely and a little bit like you're in a rush to get where everyone is.
You feel you're going to struggle. It's nothing but a struggle. Yeah. The so far behind.
Yeah.
It's like There are friends of mine playing Borderlands 2 right now, mm-hmm. and it's been picking up lately with that new that free expansion, that prelude to Borderlands 3. But they didn't play a lot of Borderlands 2, so what we have. So we were able to transfer our level 72s into it, and then someone's stuck at level 20, so we got to do a lot of power leveling to get them up, because there's no way they're going to be there's no way they're going to be able to help us at level 20, and we're like 52 levels ahead of them. I know that this is a struggle.
It's hard to get everybody on the same page. Mechanically, 14 does a good job of it, but story-wise it doesn't, because you're just utterly not allowed to see a lot of the changes and a lot of the content and a lot of the story.
It's another old game, 2010 on that release.
On the original release, then they shut it down for what, a year and a half, something like that, to rebuild it, and it came back as A Realm Reborn, which was its relaunch, I think, in 2014, I believe, and then it's been working at a steady clip. They're very, very, it's well managed.
2013, by the way.
Okay, everything like is everything 2013. Else, yeah.
August of 2013 is when that Realm Reborn was launched.
It's a really, really well-managed game. It's got a really great story. Even the relaunch of the game was kind of a metaphor for... The story in the game was a metaphor for relaunching the game. It was very cool the way they built it. Their content release schedule has been really, really good. Expansion every 2 years, almost on the dot. Major content releases in the game every 3 months, almost to the week. You know, they're very regimented, very well controlled. Really, for the most part, seems like they genuinely do have the entire story planned out, probably for another two expansions. So it's good stuff. It's well made. I like it. I'm just trying to get caught back up.
Yeah. Did you pick up anything else during the Steam sale?
I don't remember. I'm sure I did.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely sure I did.
I haven't. I don't know. Every time I look at it, man, Steam sales just don't do it for me what they used to do for me. I did grab
you own most of the stuff you want.
I know. Yeah. But they also don't. I say don't gamify it. They, of course, gamify it. But
they gamified it away from what we enjoyed, which was camping flash sales.
Yeah. Like, get it while it's hot.
Yeah.
Type thing. Now it's just like, get it within the 2 weeks it's here.
Yeah. But the gamification really wants you to play certain things at certain times with certain people under certain conditions. And I'm like, no, I hate that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that right now.
Yeah, there was a, like I said, get it while it's hot. And now it's like, well, get it within the 2 weeks. And by that time, I'm able to talk myself out of, am I going to play this between now and when it goes on sale again in six months?
Or is this an all-time low? And I may as well get it now.
Right. In fact, I did pick up the Humble Bundle, or the Humble Monthly Bundle, which is like $12 a month.
Yeah.
Well, I subscribed to get Hellblade and whatever else they had in that one. So it was like $12, and I get Hellblade and seven other games for that. And I think they just released the games for August, which are Kingdom Come Deliverance and another one that I want to say it may be Life on Mars. Can't remember what the other one is, although I already have Kingdom Come Deliverance. So,
yeah, good for me. I still only have like 20, maybe 20 something games in Steam. But I was looking at the chat with Link. He was talking about what we talked about last week, how that
2004
Steam Grand Prix thing. How it's got. He says it's gotten worse.
Yeah,
have you heard?
I was trying to do a run in Destiny with a pickup group off of the LFG.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the Steam sales. We were going through it. And somebody said, oh, just you can do the glitch thing. I was like, what's the glitch thing? Well, right now, one of the things is you have to buy a drink in this one game. But the conversion rate of buying this drink was an achievement thing. And you could just spam it over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And it would give your team points of ever how this gamified thing is for Steam sales.
Yeah.
And so you could just... it was glitched, basically.
Yeah.
It was, or it was a way that you could do something in a game that Steam didn't take into account, and
he says
just massively.
Yeah, Delinquent says the Starbound Soda exploit.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
yeah. Starbound Soda exploit is exactly what that was. What they were telling me about. We got to take a break here. We are at the top of the hour. We're behind the top of the hour, actually. And when we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat in just a minute. This next one comes from, and I need to look this up because, again, I want to see what the year is.
You already know what the year is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2013.
Yeah.
Make sure it is. Oh, no, this was 1998, European Air War.
Oh, oh EW. Yeah. Yeah, okay. You could have just said the name, and Matt and I could have told you.
Yeah,
that was November of 1998, by the way.
October 31st, 1998. Yep. You're exactly on it. We'll be right back after this.
Best month in the history of games.
And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Wings 2, Aces High, which I think is the one you put in there.
Old SNES game.
Old SNES game.
World War One game, not a World War II.
2013?
Like yeah.
Yeah. I think that's when everything came out.
Originally made in 2013. So back in time to 1990 or something.
In one of the breaks, in our first break that we took earlier, we talked about Arkham Origins and said, oh, when was that? And turns out that was 2013 also. So, found a lot of games.
2013 is the new 1998.
Right?
Yeah.
That seems to be the case.
One thing I wanted to ask you, James. Hey, did you ever mess with the WoW? The vanilla WoW?
No.
Public testing?
No. No. But, like,
I mean, I know you've been there.
Yeah. I played vanilla WoW at launch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was there, and it is... to me, it's still one of the definitive, not just MMO or multiplayer, but definitive gaming experiences.
Absolutely.
Like, of all time. But something...
But going back to it?
Yeah, I have no interest in it. Like, I have no interest in it at all. A lot of it was... A lot of what made that game special was about... Mechanically, it took an era of punitive design and flipped it on its head, real simple, and turned it into a reward-based thing, right? There's no XP debt. There's no XP punishment. Mm-hmm. There's your basic level, and then there's rest XP or bonus XP for certain things.
You can craft something and it not break.
Yeah, and so it made exploring everything the game had to offer kind of a bit less tedious and a bit less painful. The world itself was super fascinating, regardless of who you were, especially fascinating if you were a Warcraft fan of any stripe, because now you're taking something that's isometric and historically very low detail, and you're walking around in it, you know, at eye level, and it was amazing. There was no flying. There was no...
money.
Trickery. There was no big money to be had. It was a very, at the time, very simple approach. And it was harder. It was more punishing than what things are now. But it was a perfect time. It was a perfect way of being in a game world. Everything felt like an adventure. Like everything you did, flying from Ironforge to Stratholme, like felt like Fellowship of the Rings, you know, like because there was no this was hour long Hearthstones, no easy way to get home. Death was kind of, you know, not as easy to deal with as it is now. So and failure really sometimes really meant failure. And so like it was magic for a lot of different reasons. None of those reasons exist anymore. And I don't need to go into a museum of my own.
The only reason I really want to go back to it is just because I didn't start playing until like a week or two after Naxx was released.
Oh, which was really kind of the summer vacation before Burning Crusade.
And I had no clue what the heck I was doing. Yeah. So it was like magical. And people were people were really helpful at that point because they were just like, eh, you know, I don't need this gear. So here you go. Here's a BOEF hound. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know? So I missed a lot of that opening vanilla part.
Yeah.
I knew about it. I knew friends that were playing it, but I never played it. So I really want
to. I got nothing against it. I just, there's not a thing in the world there for me.
Oh, yeah.
Like now, if somehow classic WoW or vanilla WoW or whatever it is represented a brand new fork, basically a reset of the entire WoW universe. Like if they wanted to get me back to playing it, they would have to drop a nuke on World of Warcraft, roll it all the way back,
and then go a different timeline, and then
kind of go like a different timeline, but sort of the same. You know, rely on a lot of the same things, but take everything that you've learned and maybe go a different path. Then I wouldn't know what comes next.
Yeah.
But if I go back in time, so to speak, to vanilla WoW, like I know what happens. Yeah. I know who opens the dark portal. I know what's waiting on the other side.
It's like rewatching Atlanta Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Only not necessarily wanting to drink bleach afterward. Right. Yeah, it's just, there's nothing there for me. I don't need it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need it. I'm happy for everybody that likes to live in the past.
Sometimes it's like that going back is different. I mean,
yeah.
To me that was slightly different than like replaying, you know, like a classic game from 98.
Yeah, that's not. No. That's exactly right. It's not like replaying Half-Life.
Yeah,
it's
which like oh yeah.
It's not like even replaying Warcraft 3.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Which is amazing. That you can replay that over and over again. It's really fun. It's got a really great story. But this was more about. Like I remember in the beta or like right after launch when Jeremy and I were playing it, like I don't know what was I was a it was a I had my little dwarf dude, you know, my little dwarf hunter I still got, you know, main man. Like walking into Ironforge and just like my jaw dropping at the sense of scale, which had nobody had ever done anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow wandering onto the tram. Like traveling down the Stormwind, getting completely lost, and legitimately we were scared because we had no idea where we were, no idea how anything functioned. I just was like, this is too much for me. Like, this is too much. I'm just going to hit my Hearthstone and go home. I just want to go home. Like, I've seen too much. It's more than I can take in. Yeah. And so much of the game was that for a really long time. It's impossible now. So
I think, like what you said, you know, before that, we're all looking at a bird's eye view of the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But to finally have your perspective change like that is just...
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. And I have no interest in going back to it anymore. It's and I remember it fondly, but... And I'm happy for other people to do it. I'm not even saying it shouldn't exist. It's not for me. It's not for me.
I've seen some videos of Elite Dangerous when it first released. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, going back and, you know, seeing how everything was in that game... You know, from the updates where we're at now, and just it's two different games.
Yeah, it is.
Or three, or four. How many, you know, variant, you know, we've been through since then. But, like, you know, with WoW, you have, like, all those different expansions, all the different world-changing events.
I would also argue that Blizzard have been very poor stewards of their own product for a lot of different reasons, but... The fortunes of any particular class, you know, or any particular play style, rise and fall too much. I mean, they can change dramatically within a particular expansion, and even worse over the course of many different expansions. It's been a really stressful over one patch, which is really, I think if you could chart the variation in play style and design of all of those classes over the entire thing, it's preposterous. They change them so drastically and so often that the churn from changing them must be their goal. Their goal is never to make things work right. It can't be, because nobody's that incompetent to take that many years and still never find like a good
balance.
Mm-hmm. Again, just because like I'm a fan of it right now, I think, and it has essentially no PvP, which is another big thing. It's another big point of balance, but the consistency of things in Final Fantasy is really good. Like, it's nice that, you know, there have been some expansions where the play style I like hasn't fared quite as well, And again, their class design is much simpler, much more straightforward. But that's neither here nor there. What I know is that I like my little mans, right? My little 2-foot-tall black mage. And his playstyle changes a bit from time to time. But for the most part, like it's pretty well maintained, and I can find a lot of joy in it.
One thing I want to ask you real quick on Final Fantasy, do they have any like free up to certain levels, or do you have to do
straight pay? Yeah, I think so. 30, I'm not, 20, 12? I don't know what
it is. Yeah, it's something like
numbers.
That. They also do base game includes everything up to the current content.
I played it on console. Yeah. I never played it on PC.
It is subscription-based. As a change of last week, this was April of 2017. You can now play freely up to level 35, but beyond that point, you'll need to pay a subscription fee of at least $12.99 per month.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's your typical
stuff. That level may have changed since then. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure just because I don't really know. I do know that unlike a lot of other things, you like there literally is no point in, for example, having Shadowbringers right now. Because of the way it gates content, you can't even get to it. I would say, I don't know. I think it's utterly worth it. I think that there are some places where it's sort of difficult to progress. I've lost some friends that I tried to bring over from WoW.
I'm always willing to try an MMO.
Yeah, I love it. Dennis and I both play it. I think it's very neat in all of its ways. It's a little. The early stages, literally, because of the way the game works, haven't changed dramatically as the game design has progressed. Because they were designed to accommodate PS3 players. It was designed around a certain kind of progression. So it really is like stepping back in time when you're a low-level character to a certain degree. And there are stretches of gameplay that are mandatory. They're absolutely required to move on to other things. It's all story based. Takes a long time. A lot of people hit a wall with it, you know. So it's not just like you spam random dungeons until you're level 70 and let's go raid together. It doesn't work like that. But I like it. I don't really try to sell it very much. I just try to explain what I like about it. The sandbox MMO is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what I really want. But they're dead. 11's dead. Star Wars Galaxies is long dead.
Oh, yeah.
Eve Online is a
Old Republic's like still going around.
Old Republic's not a sandbox. Mm-mm. Old Republic is a fishbowl.
Mm.
Like the concept of like player made, go out there, do whatever you want, like the old days of Eve Online.
Yeah.
That would be great. It's not out there. So I'm old. I like my casual MMO. I like Final Fantasy. I think they do a lot of cute and clever things. It's got really good design. It's got some of the frankly best translation team I've ever seen in my life. Like the story is actually told very, very well with humor that's really on point. It's good. It's good Final Fantasy. You know what I mean? In lieu of a more classic-style Final Fantasy being available, it's actually just a very good Final Fantasy.
Nate, an MMO that you could go back to that I don't think you've ever played and that is absolutely free. You may have some hoops to jump through.
Oh.
City of Heroes.
I actually did play it.
Did you?
I did.
When it was released?
It was at some point after I had been playing Burning Crusades, someone told me I should try it.
Yeah.
So
well, that's a weird left turn.
Yeah, yeah. It is. And I tried it for like a month and then went straight back.
Yeah, well, City of Heroes' best life was from about March of 2004 until the 3rd of November 2004.
Yeah,
because it really was. I hate to say it. It was a waiting room for a lot of us that had already played. Like the beta, you know, like as a lot of people had played the beta and WoW, and we would go to the City of Heroes forums and be like, this will let y'all know that you're playing yesterday and there's something coming out that's tomorrow. Like this is, and City of Heroes really was in a lot of ways, the best version of yesterday's MMO.
Yeah.
Or the most fun, I guess I should say. But it was very punitive.
Yeah. Especially the higher you got.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a real shame.
Yeah,
was,
one of the things about Steve Heroes that got me was that you can get up to a point, level 25, I believe.
Where you could
when you
not
got to
solo.
Level 25, you hit a wall. Mm-hmm. You were not, from what I felt like, when you hit level 25, you are not advancing further unless you were with a team.
Which was the halfway point of the cap, exactly. You know? And then the struggle, like,
the struggle,
the hill got steep.
Yeah, yeah.
Struggle was real.
Well, I mean, again, it's another example. That game would let you have three things that weren't even really quests, but were the closest thing you could get to quests. Mm-hmm. At the time, you had like a maximum of three. WoW was like, here's 20. Like, here's 20. Just take that. And that was a huge change. Right? The whole thing's quest-based. The whole thing is big chunk XP. Very little just...
You don't get it from just fighting randos.
Yeah, you don't kill the
same
rat 100 times in a row. You know. And again, City of Heroes was still doing that. It was built around the concept of, well, you just go kill these guys out in whatever place where it was, right?
Yeah.
And nobody was online, right? Because I worked a stupid schedule. Everybody else in the world worked normal schedules. I worked a stupid schedule. So I'm out there with my little scrapper. Yeah. Killing the dude, and I got to have, like, this invulnerability thing and that thing and this thing and that thing all turned on at the same time so I don't die. Mm-hmm. I'm killing these guys and killing these guys, and then one of them punches me in the nose, turns all my stuff off. The other one comes over and kills me.
Yeah.
And that was every
fight.
That was every fight.
And then when you die, then you're, like, you're in the hole for XP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it was just...
You get in a fight with this, like you get in a fight with this person. You, it's a struggle to do so, and then you finally win. You get like 3 XP.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. miserable.
Yeah,
it was really miserable. Or you could fight the whole thing. Like you could fight an enemy, get him down to like a hair's health left, and some other dude comes over and kills it. He gets all the XP.
Wow.
I know that. I used to get yelled at a lot for that because I would watch somebody almost die.
Yeah,
and then. I would just help them by killing the thing, and then I get yelled at because I stole their XP. Like, all of these ideas that disappeared in November of 2004 because somebody realized that punishing your players wasn't something that the players, they didn't want.
Yeah. Nowadays, that's split between everybody who gets in there.
And it's fine. You're rewarded for helping each other. You take a couple of shots, you get some XP, this guy gets some XP. You know what I mean? Large-scale group activities that people could join in on without having to be in a formal group. All that sort of stuff. Having said that, it still has by far, like way far, my favorite class I've ever played in an MMO was my...
Was it your scrapper?
No. It was my... Which way did it go? My
you had a scrapper, the
kinetics
controller.
Energy defender.
Controller?
No, it was a defender.
The defender, okay.
Because remember, defenders and controllers shared... the same pools, but as primary and secondary. Defenders shared the support pool as a primary.
Yeah, that was my defender. I was a defender. I was a healer, and the secondary was Dark Miasma. The offense, all my offense came from my secondary stuff, but my main focus was supporting the group in healing when need be.
Right. Yeah, mine was energy for attack, but not like a blast. It was the same pool as the blaster had. But as a secondary, so
that
it was weaker.
Yeah. It was weaker.
My primary was kinetics, which was all about energy redirection, right? I couldn't directly heal you guys, but I remember what I would do is I would, because I had hover, and I would, like, hover above the crowd. Mm-hmm. You guys are all doing your killing, and you would basically, like, pull energy out of an enemy.
Sapper.
And then, like, you'd sap them and then, like, spread the energy back around everybody else as a heal.
Yeah.
Or I could do a slow debuff on an enemy. And then I would have that energy, and I had to, like, then shoot it out to somebody else to give them a speed buff. You know what I mean? It was all about – it wasn't direct buffing and debuffing. It was, like, energy shift.
Yeah.
And it was insanely fun. Like, it was insanely fun.
Jeremy – was Jeremy our bubble defender, or was that Kevin?
I think Jeremy was a controller.
He was a controller. He was a controller. Yeah, he was an illusion controller.
What was Kevin?
Was
he our bubble guy? Who was our bubble guy?
I don't remember.
I thought we had a bubble guy.
Yeah, I think we did have a bubble guy. He may have been the bubble guy.
I don't know.
I was a fire blaster.
Yeah, it was a tremendous amount of fun at the time. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's an artifact of another time. You know what I mean?
The fact that it's up and running now is pretty amazing. That it's out there doing its own thing, or at least for now until something happens, and we're all expecting something to happen. legally NCSoft to step in and be like, all right, guys, you had your fun. Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that it was there. I really enjoyed it for a while. But, yeah, it's just something I need. Yeah. I'd rather remember and not go back to.
Yeah.
You mentioned something with a legal action. It's kind of like what happened with the Streets of Rage remake. Like, Sega didn't have a problem with Streets of Rage remake until they started putting Streets of Rage on mobile devices. Because everyone was having so much of a good time with Remake, no one was buying
the one that Sega did. Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't a
like
problem.
Sega's like, well, we'll get on this and put it out there. No, we're going to play this free version.
Go ahead, make the free version that's better.
Than
anything you put out right now. Yeah.
No, I mean, NCSoft is not going back to the property at all to City of Heroes. They won't ever go back to it, but I don't necessarily know that they'll not at some point in time throw out that old cease and desist. To stop it. It's not making money right now. They have donations set up where people can donate to help cost and things like that, but that's all voluntary for you to do. And so, you know.
Yeah, that's the term I was looking for, cease and desist. That's exactly what Sega gave to Bomber Games when they started putting their stuff out on mobile. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it was fun times. It was going back into it. What, a couple of months ago, I think, was when I was throwing up screenshots and videos and stuff. I mean, I knew that character creation system was deep.
Nice.
But this was, what, I don't know, 13, 15 years later, something like that, since it was shut down. So there was the memory of it. Never being, and like this, normally your memory doesn't hold up. Like the nostalgia factor, you know, you go back to it and be like, boy, this is crap. From what you remember, because you held it in such high regard. But instead, I went back and I was like, oh, this is more robust than I remembered.
Now, did they give you access to all the stuff they added later?
Yes.
So the capes, the different...
So it was even more robust than I remember. Because now there were gigantic wings and tails and all sorts of... The amount of different full-on outfits that you could have were stuff I don't even remember. Because I'd stopped playing it after a while. I was there for whenever they shut it down. Yeah. I think me and Jeremy joined in on that, but I hadn't gone through that whole thing in years.
Yeah, I remember mine was pretty simple, just a one-piece outfit with a hospital cross on the chest, right? But there was a lot of things like that. Like, I remember I made a blaster with just a normal outfit, but instead of normal arms, I put, like, cybernetic arms, because the story I made up was something like a cybernetic something to help control.
That was really one of the best parts about that game, was making up your story.
Making up your story and everything.
It was really cool.
Every now and then you get a little message from someone, like, cool story, because you could, like, highlight someone and read their story.
Yeah, my scrapper got a lot of compliments on the way that I'd written his little profile.
Yeah.
And I miss that. So I even think about that a lot sometimes. Yeah, because
you could pop up a story right now. Think of something right now.
Oh, yeah. To put in there. Let you write your own story.
Let you write your own story in that thing.
It was fun.
Write your own background. And it was nice. You did confidence off of that. But I do remember the tails and horns and things like that. I don't remember wings, though.
No. They got wings.
But they got wings now.
Was that like a City of Villains edition?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
City of Villains like that was like that.
Because now you're... As a controller or defender or whatever it was, where you have your minions.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, minions, yeah.
That you would have, I think as Dark Miasma, you would have these shadow creatures that could come and...
Dark Miasma, what I remember, was a long-distance sniping attack. You could have these...
But as you upgraded that power, you had, like, these little shadow creatures that would join you.
I remember I had...
kind of like in Ghost?
No, mine had, like, these little... a portal would come out of tentacles, would hold someone in place.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was one
that
would hold someone in place.
I remember
that.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. Not like I said, all my offense was from Dark Miasma, and I didn't use it much because I was focused on healing more than anything else. That and teleporting. And group teleporting as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, they've unlocked everything. Even the stuff that you would have to... Because I went out and I rebought the game whenever it came out on, I don't know, Collector's Edition, because it came with... a different power, and it came with a Heroclix figure and all this other stuff.
Right.
Heroclix, man. I think that stuff's still going on. I don't know. But all of that stuff is now in the game. You know, I mean, everything that was ever available, be it Collector's Edition or some whatever one-off promotion, is now available to you in the game. Both heroes, villains, Going Rogue, all the different expansions, everything is now in what they have done. So we're going to take a break here. We're going to go back to the year 2004. This game was, looks like it was only available on Microsoft Windows. It is Pacific Fighters. This was, the developer is 1C Maddox Games. Publisher was Ubisoft. This is from the Ill2 guys, the Sturmovik guys. So we'll be right back with more in-game chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from, again, I'm sticking with the flying game thing theme. Hawks. Tom Clancy.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tom Clancy's Hawks.
H-A-W-X.
Yes.
2013?
Oh, boy. Let's see.
No, a little earlier than that.
Yeah. Early
2010?
2009.
Okay.
March of 2009. Now, when did Hawks 2
come
out?
That was right in the middle where everything had to have an X in it, yeah. Or the kids wouldn't buy it.
Hawks 2 came out a year later?
Yeah.
That fast?
Yeah. That's one of the few Clancy ones that Steam doesn't have.
I haven't seen Hawks on anything.
No.
That's another party.
They have In War?
Yeah. I have it on my Steam account.
I had forgotten about Hawks till I typed in like flying games trying to come up with some music stuff. And I was like, oh, look, it's Hawks. I forgot about that. So, yeah, you're right. I don't. Anytime the Tom Clancy collection rolls around,
yeah.
I don't remember ever seeing Hawks in there. Rainbow Six, usually Siege now instead of Vegas, which is another fun game that was a nice little group play.
Were you the one that mapped your face that was all freaky?
Yeah, I was.
Well, he was the only guy that had,
Had the camera.
He was the only guy that had the camera, yeah.
It seems that it was on Steam, but it was removed due to using real-life jets. The licensing's ran out.
Really? Licensing on the jets?
Yeah, that would make sense.
Man.
Lockheed, McDonnell Douglas, and all them.
I would guess so. That's an aspect I never really considered. Like, I get licensing on music and properties, but I guess I never considered Jets as being a property. It totally is.
It is an IP, in a way.
It is.
No, so. That's terrible.
That is,
That's terrible. If your tax dollars go to pay for something that's going to be put into the military like that, you ought to just be able to, like,
use it,
put it in a video game.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? Anything else? So we talked about PlayStation Plus. Remedy got the rights back to Alan Wake. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but they got the rights back.
I guess Who had it?
Microsoft, I believe.
Okay.
Remedy Entertainment's just earned its royalties for previously published games. That doesn't give me any... It's working on Alan Wake 2. Things didn't pan out. Have now reverted to... Okay, so the publishing rights for Alan Wake have reverted back to Remedy, so that the possible sequel to that game could actually come about
if they decide to go there. Nightmare?
Right, yeah. Originally, they couldn't do that because the property was owned by, or at least published or whatever, was owned by somebody else. And so they would have to get permission to be like, can we work on this? No, we want you to do something else.
This got posted an hour ago, but Batman Arkham Collection for PS4 leaked on Amazon. A listing.
You know what? I've been down.
I already have them.
Been down the Batman. Obviously, it'll include the Return to Arkham games, which, whatever, I've got those on my PC.
I'm not saying it's for us.
No, I get it. No, I totally get it. It's just they're still trying to milk that franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Because Rockstar's doing whatever Rockstar, or Rocksteady is doing whatever Rocksteady is doing.
Two different people.
Two different
Rockstar, Rocksteady.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, I was going to say developers
Bebop,
for the...
You know, whatever.
Now, is that... I'm wondering what that Arkham... Whenever they talk about Arkham collections, man, they usually don't include Origins because that was not Rocksteady. They usually include Origins because that was a Montreal, I believe, WB Montreal.
It appeared on Amazon UK, and it showed Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I figured it would be.
Didn't they already have that sort of PS4? Like in the cover art looked like a playing card with the Joker and...
That's the Return to Arkham. That's when they did sort of the... Oh. I don't want to even call it a remaster, but whatever. It's like, hey, here it is in
it's a port onto the PS4.
Yeah, here's the PS4 version of these PS3 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all that was. Or here's the Xbox One version of these Xbox 360 titles.
Was your point that Origins wasn't on there?
Origins has never been included in
it's not a Rocksteady.
Arkham Collections? Every time they say Arkham Collections, it's never including Origins.
It's not Rocksteady.
Now, if they do a Batman collection, then it's like, here's Lego Batman, here's Batman Origins, here's Batman all this. But anytime they do an Arkham collection, they always leave out Origins. And a lot of people left out Origins. Again, this was the game we were talking about. There was another 2013 game.
The article specifically talked about that part.
I figured that's what it would be. It's going to be the Return to Arkham series, and they're also going to throw in Arkham Knight. Is likely the case. So, which is fine. I just preferred Origins.
No, that's not confirmed. That was just a leak. So,
yeah, well.
Take it as you will.
I've just always... There were things about Origins that I preferred over... I was fine with the voice acting in it. Mm-hmm. It was perfectly fine with that. And I talked about this during the break. I enjoyed the boss battles in that one were better than what I was... than what I had previously experienced in. And after Knight came out, yeah, better than what I had in Arkham Knight as well. Especially all the Batmobile crap that they'd thrown in there. With... not Deadpool, but the other dude. Deathstroke. DC's Deadpool. Sony was the one that made the change on that PS Plus stuff. I don't know why, though. They haven't revealed why that was.
Is it because
Konami's like, it ain't us, man.
No one plays the soccer?
No one wanted Pez.
It wasn't even out before they made the change.
A lot of people complained about that, though.
Did they? I hadn't paid attention to
everything that I read.
For me, I was like, ooh, I'll never... This is the only way I'm going to play a soccer game, is that you give it to me for free.
The people I just saw from Reddit, Twitter, and then their blog, I never saw one positive comment about that game.
Yeah.
Last soccer game I played was Mega Man, Striker?
No, Super Mario Strikers?
No, it was the Mega Man version. It was like the Mega Man soccer.
I didn't know they had a soccer with Mega Man.
Yeah, it was on the Super Nintendo.
I've played Super Mario Strikers on the GameCube, which is also the machine of, like, Mario does this.
Yes.
Which was all I ever played on the GameCube. I was like, Mario Kart? Sure. Mario going to do golf now? All right. Mario going to play tennis? All right, that's fine. Mario playing soccer? Let's do it. Baseball? All right.
Hey, did you see any reasons why they didn't like PS on soccer-wise or whatever? Because I've seen some worse lineups of free games, and I didn't see any complaining about that. It was just...
I thought it was great timing, what with the Women's World Cup going on and everything else. I was like, oh, okay, that's probably the tie-in. Yeah. This is probably why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. And then
interest in soccer now, and maybe they'll pick it up.
Well, they don't have any women on their game, so I guess maybe that's...
Yeah, I know.
no correlation there.
And, you know, Americans in soccer just never
EA quit. Owns the women's
teams. Shenmue 3 backers are actually going to get their refunds now. Because it's on
yeah.
the Epic Game Store instead of Steam.
The email I got from OS is if you want to continue it to have it on Steam, then you'll have to wait a year. After the Epic Game Store, then they'll put it on Steam.
Or you can get your refund.
Or you get, yeah, or just play it, you know, which is what I'm going to do.
Epic is funding the cost of all Kickstarter refunds. Epic Games is gonna foot the bill for that, which is kind of it's not really surprising, but I don't know. I guess they that's one way for here's the reason. There's a lot of people who hate us because we just got the exclusive for Shenmue. Let's see if we can earn some good graces, I guess, and pay, you know, and give their refunds if they want it. I don't know. I'll
play it on Epic Games.
I've never understood the hate on that.
No,
because I get it because people think it's inferior.
Yeah, but you're not playing the Epic Game Store. You're playing Shenmue. How, you know?
Man, that game store is bad. Their front end is bad.
Yeah.
They can say it. It should have come up about an hour ago for me to get everything out I have to say about it.
You've got 10 minutes.
Yeah. The point is that what they're offering, they're not offering games, right? Anybody can offer games through their storefront. Their storefront is absolutely hideous. It is at a minimum quality for operating as a storefront. It's not particularly secure. It's not really easy to use. It doesn't support DLC very well. Doesn't support reviews. Its package management is terrible. Like, literally everything you could want from a storefront. And I don't want to hear that, like, they just spun it up, so you got to give it time. No, you don't. Like, this isn't 2004 where digital storefronts were a new thing, right? If you're going to launch a storefront, you need to have your business together, at least somewhat together, right? And buying exclusivity just to put it on a terrible storefront where they really just want you buying, I don't know, hokey cartoon packages for their stupid cartoon game. Like, it's wretched. If it was just another reasonably well-designed store, I could think, like, that's not that big a deal. But they're also using it to wage, like a ridiculous, super emotional garbage war against Steam, and they're apparently suddenly quite evil 30% take. But it's very clear that Valve has taken a lot of that money and put it back into the platform,
mm-hmm.
which has made life better for everyone. Like, all of a sudden, Valve is evil when the only reason any of these people even have the exposure they have is because of Valve's storefront. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a number of independent games that I've bought directly from the developer, or have intended to buy from the developer, who then happily says, thank you all very much. I've made plenty of money you buying it directly from my website. But won't you please go buy it on Steam? Because they're such a volume dealer. They give me so much more exposure than I could ever get on my small storefront mm-hmm. that the 30% cut is non-existent compared to the amount of sales that I'm going to get, right?
From the eyes that are going to see it, the amount of eyes that are going to see
like
the
it's,
sales.
It's,
yeah.
I just have yet to be sold on the idea that because Steam
when you,
is somehow evil.
Yeah. When you buy directly from the developer, it doesn't show up in an activity list on Steam that then your friends see.
Yeah.
So that's free advertisement for them.
I mean, how many times have you gotten music because you see someone playing it on Steam? It gets it in your mind. You're like, oh yeah, there's this game or whatever.
Yeah,
It gives you exposure. Chat, like, you could be happy that it doesn't have reviews. Mm-hmm. Reviews in general on the internet are problematic. You just have to be able to understand you have to read the reviews, right? Mm-hmm. I get it. Like, meme reviews are pointless. Joke reviews are pointless. But I at least have the option to read some kind of feedback. It also promotes reviews from people that are in my friends list, right? And those are people who I obviously trust.
Mm-hmm.
They've played the game. I get to see what they do. I don't even mind terrible one-star reviews. It gives me some idea, some picture of where the game is now, where the game has been. If it's a bad review but the guy can't spell, like, that even tells me something about the audience. Like, in no universe are no reviews better than bad reviews or a bad review system. I can't see that. Yeah. So Steam gives you tools that you want and need for owning games. Mm. Like and the Epic Store just has nothing on it.
So you mentioned earlier that Steam's 30%. You know, they at least you know they're putting the money back into the.
Yeah, it's really program, right? It's really their source of income since they decided they don't want to make video games anymore. Mm-hmm.
But then, so what's the website? So what's
well, they made a VR headset and everything else for like $1,000 if you want to throw money at that.
So no, I mean it's how they make their money. Yes. I get it.
Okay, so was Epic, they're just pocketing profits and that's it?
No, I think they're probably putting it back in somehow. I just don't think that. I don't know. I have no idea how they're running their company, and they haven't been doing this for very long, so it's hard to see the progress of this store over time. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it can't get better. EA's store started out really bad. Origin was bad. Mm-hmm. Now it's fine.
It sounds like the Ubisoft anything but get better.
Was pretty wretched for a really long time, and now is fine. Neither one stands up well to Steam, in my opinion. If it fixes its product, then it fixes its product, I don't take it back, but then I'm no longer upset. I just want a decent product. I just hate their storefront. It's terribly designed. It's not a good thing right now. Mm-hmm. To try to build support by like running some weird attack campaign on Steam's 30% cut is just sours me on the whole thing altogether. You know, and I'm a guy that doesn't mind running 8 different storefronts. I don't care, or launchers or what. Like I don't really care, but. This is an ugly piece of business right now, and I really don't see how it helps anybody.
Windows Game Store wasn't that crap at one time, or is it still?
Oh no, it's still pretty bad.
Okay, I wasn't
it's
sure.
Still really, really.
I remember
bad.
A couple of OSs ago that it was pretty bad.
It's terrible.
Okay,
it's really terrible. It's hard to search. Mm-hmm. It isn't categorized particularly well. It still doesn't manage package updates. Even remotely as well as any other store that I'm aware of. It's just ever so slightly less onerous than
Isn't that how you guys got
Sea
of Thieves?
Store. Yeah.
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 So.
I don't know. It's whatever. I don't do any of this out of loyalty. I really don't care. I have never had any sort of platform loyalty at all. I just know like which products work, which ones don't, which ones cause me a problem. And, you know, if they can make some improvements to it, great. You know, I'll get on board. But right now, it's yucky. Yep. And not for nothing, man, but when you pledge support through a backer-funded project with the whole promise being you're going to get X, Y, and Z, right? And then at nearing the point of delivery, they take a hard left turn. And they're like sneaking off like a cartoon villain with a bag of money in each hand. Like, that's a bad look too. You know what I mean? You need to follow through on your promises. If you want to move forward only selling it on this whatever thing, then whatever. You do what you want. But that's gross, man.
They've
I understand
done this
people that were angry about
previously, it. And I don't think it was a backer-funded campaign, but Metro 3 was another thing that...
Exodus?
Yeah, Exodus was scheduled to be... available on Steam.
Within
weeks.
Yeah, sticker on
the they had the sticker on the... Yeah. Yeah. Somebody peeled the sticker off the backs of the box. Like, oh, there's the...
What's the typical excuse they give when they make that left turn? Like you said, it's like due to sudden something... What was the excuse they always give? Like something changed financially and we had to go this route. We understand you're upset, but we... In order to get this game out, we had to...
Well, we talked about this before. For who's the I don't know who the publisher is on Metro. Deep Silver?
Is that right? I don't know.
I can't remember who it is.
I don't know what the publishing arrangement.
The whole the best way I look at it is I look at.
I think 2K did this a while back.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I look at Three Fields Entertainment, who did Dangerous Driving.
Yeah.
Which was the whole Burnout thing.
Okay. Yeah.
They took the Epic Game Store exclusivity. Mm-hmm. Benefits them. They get more money back. They're locked in for a year. Whatever the hat of money that Epic gave them is good for them.
But they didn't say it was going to be on Steam or anything like that.
That was never the case.
They never did that, yeah.
Yeah, they never came out and said, we're going to be on this platform or this platform. Yeah, yeah. We'll be on PC, is what it said, and on console. Mm-hmm. So them taking the money hat from Epic is one thing. It's good for them. There are people. They're a studio of seven people self-publishing. This is good for them. Borderlands 3 is not.
Mm-hmm.
2K is fine. They don't need whatever Epic was offering them, but they took it anyway. Do you think that's going to go back into Gearbox or anything like that? No, 2K is going to put that in their own.
They're doing it to offset the fact that publishers have to have a tremendous capital outlay to even start development on a game that they don't see a return on for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. This has been the struggle in the industry since games started costing any amount of real money. That's why they started pushing pre-orders. That's why they started pushing extra garbage all over the place, because these publishers are already out $20, $50, $100, $200 million for years before they see the first dollar come back in on that outlay, right? So when somebody just chucks a bag of money at them, like, they're constitutionally incapable of saying no. You know what I mean? Like, I'm surprised this didn't happen sooner, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. We'll weather this too, because it's just another part of things becoming terrible, which is the general trend, unfortunately.
So we're going to continue to get terrible with this as weeks go on. But we do have to end the show now. Thanks everybody for joining us. Thanks, Nate, for coming in. Are you not going to be here next week? Thanks, James, for coming in. Haven't had you in for a while. I know you're not going to be in next week. if you're around, that's fine.
I don't know where I'm going to be next week.
Exactly.
Good to have you back, though. Yeah,
take it week by week. And thanks to anybody who grabs us each week from iTunes, wherever you get our show. Appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're watching us on Twitch, subscribe to that. We've got a Discord. You know about all that stuff. Steam, all that great stuff. Just have a fantastic week, and we will see you next Saturday. This is from a PS2 game called Heatseeker. And, That's your favorite, yeah. Yeah, you played it. You were probably like 5 when this came out. I have no idea what the year is on when this came out. Are you looking it up now?
Yeah, let's see.
What is it?
It's not 2007.
2007? Yeah, okay. I forget when PS2 was around.
PS2.
I know, yeah. It seems like it was further back than what it is. So, have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Saturday.